Stop 14. Curator E.J. Scott on the Museum of Transology. Please note, this display contains human tissue from a medical procedure.
Hello, I'm E.J. Scott and I'm the curator of the Museum of Transology. It's the world's largest collection of objects and stories that represent trans, non-binary and intersex lives. You're standing in front of a recessed glass case that's filled with artifacts from the collection, including a lipstick, concealer, packets of pills, strapping tape, and prosthetic breasts. Each one has a brown tag attached to it that has a message written on it by its owner that explains its significance. So, for example, the donor of the lipstick writes, "This lipstick was from my wonderful sister, who was the first family member to accept and support my transition." And over to the left of this display, there's a typed large print version of all the object stories that's going to help you with deciphering the handwriting. Now, inside the cabinet are also the two objects that I donated that founded the collection. They're samples of human tissue that were taken from my chest in a gender-affirming surgical procedure we refer to in the trans community as top surgery. The results of the surgery produce a flattered chest silhouette. The tissue's preserved in clear alcohol, and it kind of makes them appear to float, which is apt because there was certainly an emotional weight lifted when I finally had this procedure done. The samples are round in shape. They're about 15 centimetres in diameter, and they've got globules of fatty tissue protruding, almost lava-like, at the edges of the severed flesh. Half a star-shaped tattoo remains on the tissue that's been removed from the right-hand side. Behind the display, there's a colour photograph that was taken of me by renowned Indian fashion photographer Bharat Sikka during the 2016 Brighton Photo Biennial. In it, I'm standing against a panelled wooden wall in what was once the much-adored local queer venue, the Marlborough Pub and Theatre, known as the Marley. At the time, I had a moustache that had waxed curls either end, and I'm self-consciously clutching the khaki shirt I've taken off, though I've kept my camouflage baseball cap and my round gold-rimmed spectacles on for good measure. In front of me, I'm holding up one of the very same jars that's here on display today. And if you look closely, you can see that the tattoo in the jar matches the other half of the tattoo that remains on my chest. The style of its design appears very dated now, really, but it was very popular in the lesbian community that I was part of in the early 90s. And I think the fact that half of it has stayed with me is an apt metaphor for the way in which my past experiences have profoundly shaped who I am today. Yes, this top surgery has been used by me as a powerful exertion of my right to control and craft my trans body. But no, it's not an inherently trans phenomenon. Throughout history, people of all genders have used tools to shape their silhouette to enhance their own ideas of desirability, fashionability, and respectability as well. In the 1790s, British dandies used corsets to cinch their waists and were ridiculed as effeminate by the social satirists of the time. Fast forward two centuries, past crinolines and panniers, padded bras, shoulder pads, liposuction and manscaping, to 2022, and now the cosmetic surgeon clinics industry in the UK was valued at £2.5 billion. Our beauty ideals may shift over time, but it appears that our pursuit of the beautiful body never wanes. And in this sense, the act of body modification in the radical pursuit of pleasure is certainly about my transness, but more importantly, it's about body autonomy. Without trans body autonomy, nobody can rest assured that their own right to decide what they can and can't do with their own body is guaranteed. We've witnessed this with the recent revoking of a woman's right to abortion in multiple states across America. Thankfully, the same ethical and medical scrutiny I underwent to shape my chest is not inflicted upon cisgendered women wanting to enhance their breasts. The fact that they do not need to prove their womanhood to qualify for surgery does not, of course, imply that their bodies aren't equally politicised. But my trans body disrupts our society's belief that sex and gender are both binary. Neither are, of course. Gender's what we make of it, and intersex bodies exist. Trans beauty shakes up our society's understanding of what is taught and thought of as natural. But we all live in a world where we take medicine to navigate what our bodies do to us. The contraceptive pill is not only the most popular drug in history, its consumption is so normalised, it's literally a lifestyle medicine. And we're already 3D printing body parts that function and feel. The idea that we won't use science and technology to move beyond antiquated rules enforcing gender rigidity is short-sighted. Mark my words, one day you'll be able to go and get a gender like you go and get a haircut. Sealed with rubber, floating in alcohol, and fixed in time, these tissue samples are both designed and destined to be displayed in museums to mark this defining moment in history when trans people ignited a gender revolution for us all.
End of stop 14. The next track is stop 15. Curator Janice Lee introduces the film Permissible Beauty. Just follow the tactile line to the next grey floor square.